All right, let's continue now with Jay Anglin from Anglin Outdoors. Thanks for giving us more time, bud. Good to talk to you.
I love it, man. Great being here.
I wish you were up here in the UP. I know you're bogged down with your guiding right now, and that's kind of what I want to sort of tap you for, some information for folks. You spent a lot of years up here in the Upper Peninsula, steelhead fishing, salmon fishing, and we're prime time right now for the river fishermen that are watching all the hunters hit the woods. They got the rivers to themselves. And I want to talk to you about how to approach steelhead and coho and browns in the fall this time of year. So what would be your first tip?
You know, it's a food thing. So when they're in the streams, if you focus on their primary forage source, almost always in October, anywhere in the Great Lakes is going to be salmon eggs, whether it's kings or cohos or even brown trout. But normally you got salmon eggs present. And so anything, resident trout, resident rainbows, browns, even brookies to some degree up there. But, you know, steelhead are going to really focus on those feeding areas. And it's like a buffet. I mean, even if the fish aren't actively spawning, there's still eggs getting dislodged by current. And so if they sit downstream from spawning beds in the darker kind of safe water where there's a little bit of security, they're usually very aggressive. So if you run some sort of egg-oriented, you know, whether it's a fly or what have you, you know, the bottom line is you've got a really good shot at some nice fish coming out of those spots.
So what you're saying is you don't necessarily want to focus on the shallow water where the, you know, spawning gravel is, the reds are. You want to get below them in the darker water.
That's correct. And so much as a guide, for example, yesterday I was on the St. Joe River in southwest Michigan, and two of my oldest clients, 25 years, one is just ate up with fishing for kings, and the other one wanted to fish for steelhead. So I'm setting the boat in a way that they can both do their thing. But the salmon are the bait. You know, to use a corny analogy for the UP, they're a big pile of rutabagas sitting there. And the deer are the steelhead downstream. And the more you mess with the salmon, the less likely it is you're going to draw in those steelhead. I finally got into a situation. I saw three steelhead working the eggs, and I had a guy catching an absolutely spectacular wild Lake Michigan steelhead, big girl, big female. We released it, and then the other guy caught a salmon. And once you caught that salmon, all the salmon left that spot, and the steelhead that were with that other steelhead, they left too. So you really have to think, do I want to catch a fish that's going to fight a lot harder, going to make the day extremely memorable, or do I want to mess with fish that are spawning and really, honestly, sporting-wise, offer not a whole lot of sport? I know what my decision is, you know.
Me too, buddy. I'm not too keen on catching kings. I will take a fresh coho, though, and those are just staging up in the rivers right now and at the river mouths, too. Just a reminder, we're talking to Jay Anglin from Anglin Outdoors, professional river guide, and I want to talk a little bit about the specifics of rigging for these fish. So we talked about deeper water. Would you agree with me that one of the biggest mistakes, at least that I see from most people in the river, is they're too afraid to change the weight and the position of the weight on their line above whatever they're using for the lure, be it skein, be it a yarn egg, even a glass bead, for instance. It seems like the weight is such a key component, even more so than what you got tied on the end of your line.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I notice, you know, most of the guys I guide down here go fishing up north and fish on the Pier Marquette and the Manistee, the Muskegon. And a lot of the guides up there like to run like slinkies with a fly rod and do it chuck and duck style. And they just always have tons and tons of weight because it's a lot easier to cast. And I run the absolute bare minimum of weight to get into that zone I want, because I'll tell you why. On the back, now keep in mind too, when I say deeper, it's all relative. If the water's 4 inches deep where the fish are spawning, then water that's a foot deep behind them is still deeper water. So it's the deepest water within a reasonable distance, say 50 to 100 feet from the spawning beds. And that could be 5 feet deep, it can be 2 feet deep. But I'm trying to make it so that, let's just use flies, for example, yarn eggs, okay? They're light, you know, they're kind of neutral when they're in the water. Let's say it goes ripping off the back of that gravel bed, and then it goes into what I call an egg dump. And I call it an egg dump because when the eggs come off the top, and sometimes some caddis larvae and other aquatic insects, they go in there, and just for a second, there's a hydraulic, like a sort of a tumble effect that occurs. So So when the egg hits that, it'll actually zip around a little bit, right? And kind of hover for a second before the current pushes it down the river. So fish that normally would never react to an egg that's going around in circles or going left or right laterally, they might grab it, and I call that ripping egg. So when you get a really aggressive feeding brown trout, for example, or a steelhead or a resident rainbow, they'll ride back and forth on that sort of wall there and just rip eggs. And you can see it in a big river where they'll just cycle in a group. And so if you have too much weight on, you're actually going to stifle that effect. It comes off the back and it drops down underneath them, and then it just swings down underneath them, and they really don't pay attention to it. I think most people use way too much weight in that situation.
Fantastic tip right there. That's a pro tip. And Jay, I really appreciate your time today. Great stuff. Thanks for sharing it with us.
No problem, man. It's always a pleasure being here, and I love giving the tips. So, yeah, everybody out there, be safe and enjoy the winter weather that's coming.
Thanks for that, buddy. Jay Anglin from Anglin Outdoors. Check it out on Creeper Book, or you can go to anglinoutdoors.com as well and other social media. And we'll catch up with you again soon, Jay. Have a great day.
Take care.
This is The Outdoor Show.